a couple of things on the service next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock that's been announced in the bulletin at Zion Prospect Baptist Church. That's partly a result of the last 2 months of the York County ministers getting together and talking about those issues that have been happening and how much pain there is, and just talking about the fact that we're the body of Christ here in the county and we don't really do much together, hardly know each other, if at all. And so this is an effort to come together and say, we're all a part of the body of Christ. Let's do this thing together and let's be there for one another. So that's it. These talks have been really encouraging, sometimes a little tough, but we're making progress and we're looking forward to the service next Sunday afternoon. Also, for ladies, the card that's on the piano, I don't know whether you got the note yesterday or not, or this week from Sue in the email, but you'll remember our friend Martine Mola. Her husband died suddenly in that car accident last December, leaving her with her 5 kids. And so we just wanted to send another card just as an update, as a way of saying we're still thinking of you and we know it's tough. So if you want to just sign or you want to put a little note in, she'll make her way through the English if you want to write a note or whatever, just a little word of encouragement. And then when we go over in October, we hope to see Martine with her kids. So ladies, if you'd like to do that after the service, that would be a real blessing to her to know that she hasn't been forgotten. Well, these are great great contrasting days. As Horace has been saying, these things, the tragedies seem to happen over and over and over again, and they get worse and worse. And it's easy enough to think, you know, well, at the end of some of these news announcements, you can almost hear the voice from the Old Testament going, so where is their God anyway? You know, like, what is God up to? What's he doing? And so that's part of the inspiration I've had both for the message today, but also this project for the, you know, our assignment for the month of September, because in the midst of all the ugly stuff that's going on, there is amazing kingdom stuff happening, and people are doing good things, and there are signs of God's goodness and his faithfulness and everywhere. And so if we focus on it, if we look at them, if we look at those things that are happening, it's really an encouragement to us. So that's kind of what I want us to do for the month of September. Just gather those things. We're going to put some stuff up here in the corner, make a whole corner of it where you can use post-its or pictures or drawings or sketches or just notes if you want to. I think we're going to use like butcher paper, so you could actually write right on the paper if you'd like. But just as an encouragement to us, there's a lot of great stuff happening. There are a lot of good people in the midst of all the others. And sometimes we just get the impression that there are no good people left and all the stuff that's happening is only bad all the time. And that's really not kingdom perspective. So we want to be able to see that there is beauty around us as well. And I have a friend, Mike, in Virginia Beach, and one of his favorite things is taking pictures now of sunrises and sunsets, and he posts them. He has a whatever you call it online, I don't know what the word is, but anyway, if you look him up, he's Mike Zadai, Z-A-D-A-I, because you guys have met him, I think, but he takes absolutely gorgeous pictures, and everyone, he just sees God in them, so if you look him up online, his pictures are there somewhere for those of you who know how to do that stuff, which I don't, of course, but let's be that as it may. All right, and as I've been thinking about that, I realized, you know, in the midst of this, and Tammy's word this morning just reminding us that, you know, God's beauty is in us, and, you know, we laugh when we say those things, and, you know, we in jest, we say, you know, we're so beautiful and whatever, and yet we look in the mirror, we say, well, I'm not so sure about that, but it just brought me to this idea that there are creative miracles in us, that we are creative miracles. So creative miracles all. And in the notes on the back of your bulletin, just this paragraph that I've written to begin. Following Jesus today, now an accumulation of over 100 generations from many tribes, tongues, and nations, it's as surprising, fresh, challenging, rewarding, and appealing as it was 21 centuries ago. While theologians have done their best to schematize, codify, catechize, and elucidate, in thousands upon thousands of volumes and in as many hours of lectures, it must be recognized that the incontrovertible, don't you love this word? It just means it can't be denied. Incontrovertible truth of God's word is fleshed out, no pun intended for those of you looking, in us, that ever-present creative miracle, God's image and his spirit stamped and living in each one of us. That's an amazing truth that we find in Scripture. And so, you know, moving along with what Tammy was saying this morning, we just need to recognize that God is actively creating and doing and inspiring and blessing people. You know, for each one of you ladies that signs the card for Martine as she gets it, each one of you will be a message from God's heart to her heart as she deals with this first year without Philippe. So little things and big things. Sometimes the smallest things are a blessing. When you're expecting to get chewed out for something and the person is filled with understanding and is smiling and is courteous and gentle and warm, and you just walk away and you go, wow, that was so amazing. I see God. I was just in a store yesterday. I asked the clerk, she asked me how I was doing. I said, great, thank you. How are you? And she goes, if I was any better, I wouldn't be able to stand it. And I thought, I don't often hear that. And I kind of did a double take to see if she was just being sarcastic. And she goes, absolutely no sarcasm there. She says, my day is phenomenal, and this is just a great day. So I'm thinking, cool, that's really encouraging just in itself. So I want us to look at some of these verses that talk about our situation, what we have, what we've been given, what we live in on this Communion Sunday that we've invited the Holy Spirit to be here this morning. As I want us to look at several of these really familiar verses, but just to remind us of this amazing work that God has done in us, regardless of our circumstances. And so here we are this morning. Number one, your first blank there is made alive in Jesus. And I'm pulling that up out of the Gospel of John chapter 15 and verse 5, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And then he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we either remain in the vine and have life, or we are removed from the vine, and he says the next verse, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. And so Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you have nothing. You can do nothing. So the reverse is, as Jesus says, if you remain in me, my life will flow in you. I will continually provide you with new life, with growth, with fruit, with leaves, with fresh, new each day. So the first reality is that we have been made alive in Jesus. Number two, we are tutored by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've needed some tutoring just to get you caught up, or you just really wanted some one-on-one, or you wanted to take some private lessons on something. But there's just an amazing ability at that point. You can ask all the questions you want if you don't understand, different than in a classroom when there are so many people. You really sometimes don't really want to ask a question because you might be the only one who doesn't understand. Of course, that's rarely the case, but when you're one-on-one with a tutor, it's really a great opportunity. Every time you don't understand, you can just ask those questions. And so we are tutored by the Holy Spirit. Look in John 16, the next chapter over, verses 5 through 7. Jesus says, now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I've said these things, like I'm going away, he says, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then down through verses 12 through 15, he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, Jesus said. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So he tutors us. Here is the third person of the Trinity who lives in us, and one of his roles is to teach us and to guide us into all truth. If we've ever been confused, lost, disoriented, questioning things, needing help, being in a real mess and wondering if you're ever going to get out of this pit that either you dug for yourself or someone else has dug for you, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And so for those of us who are now made alive in Jesus, we actually have this tutor that walks through life with us and is there for us to guide us and to direct us and bring us to the truth. Everything that the Father has, Jesus says, is mine, and he's going to bring glory to me by showing it to you. So we lack no good thing, is also there in the New Testament. We lack no good thing because we've been given everything we need. Peter says, everything we need for life and godliness, one of my favorite verses. So not only are we made alive in Jesus, we're not just left alone, we are now tutored by the Holy Spirit. Whatever we need, you remember when James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. So we have this wonderful teacher who lives in us and is with us to give us all that we need. Number three, not only that, and we've mentioned this morning, we are set free by the Holy Spirit. We're set free by him. Oops, and my notes didn't get changed. Did your notes say Romans 5? Well, it should say Romans 8. That was one of those little things that didn't happen this morning at 7:30 the way it was supposed to. Romans 8, 1 through 7. 30 lashes with a wet noodle. Okay, Romans 8, 1 through 7. Paul says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, if we weren't such a sedate group of people, we'd probably be doing cartwheels over that. He says, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. These are just awesome things here. Verses 5 through 7. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. And then down in verses 26 and 27, still in chapter 8, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Such a deal. I mean, how many times have we not known what to pray for? And we're just like lost, and we don't know, and there's way too many conflicting emotions going on. We don't really know what the end result's going to be. We don't really know what the truth is sometimes, and it's just, we're in a mess. Or maybe you've never experienced that, and so your life has been super easy. But my guess is we might have all experienced a couple of moments where it's been a little bit more of a struggle. And so here is this wonderful promise that not only have we been set free by the Spirit from the law of sin and death and been set free to live, but then not only does he tutor us, But he goes way beyond just tutoring us. He says, he goes to the Father. The Spirit goes to the Father and says, you know, Don, you know how messed up he is sometimes? Well, he really needs this, this. Here's what he really needs. Here's what the deal really is for him, even though what he's saying often doesn't make any sense. So, Father, you really need to, you know, we really need to provide this for him because he'll never figure it out on his own. What a wonderful thing to know that even what I don't know, what I need to pray for, the Holy Spirit, who has the mind of the Father, knows the Father's will for Don Freeman, and he intercedes on my behalf in my ignorance to make a way. That's why sometimes things work out and you're like, how did that happen? Because sometimes things get resolved that you didn't even know were issues until after it's over, and you're like, how did that happen? And just maybe a silly little example, but I really think this was God's intervention, something that I didn't realize was going to happen. Last week, on the way home from the gym at 10 to 7 in the morning, out of the corner of my eye on Brick Kiln Boulevard, I see a brown blur. You know, a fraction of a second, I see a brown blur. The very next second, there's a deer on my bumper. And the next second, the deer is gone. I think an angel interrupted the law of physics because there is no way that I should not have connected with that deer. It was too close. It came, it was in front of me, and it was gone, and we did not connect. I mean, I barely made my foot to the pedal of the brake, and the deer was already gone. And so, you know, have you ever had that experience where all of a sudden your heart is up here and you're just, but it's too late. There's nothing. It's gone. It's finished. It's over. And nothing really happened. But let's just say I had lots of adrenaline for a while. And I really think that that's one of those things that I didn't realize it was going to happen. I didn't see it until it was really too late for me to do anything about it. And I really think somehow God just slid that deer right past my bumper without us connecting. And so I think that's just kind of maybe a silly example, but in many, many other ways, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us to the Father and to hear what the needs are. So we have this wonderful ongoing relationship with God through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, and then he's, you know, while we're sleeping probably, he's interceding for the Father. It's like, wow, here comes another 24 hours with Don. Father, we're really going to have to get our act together on this one. And so it's wonderful that he is there, and he searches our hearts. He knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. I think we're all here because the Holy Spirit continues to intercede for us and hasn't allowed us to go our own separate ways the way we might want to. Number four, we are also ministered to by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. There's just so much to talk about here and so much to read. I just want to read down through this passage because we know these things, but this is just an amazing thing. Paul is talking now to the church at Corinth, and he says, talking about he himself and the other apostles, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, that's the law, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry that brought death, that is the law, which was engraved in letters on stone, if it came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Again, this is what Tammy was mentioning this morning. We with unveiled faces, we all reflect the Lord's glory. And we're being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, we're made alive in Jesus, quickened, as the King James would say. We're tutored by the Holy Spirit. We're set free by this Holy Spirit. We're ministered to by the Holy Spirit. Those are four things that are true about us as followers of Jesus, as those who've submitted to him, who've accepted that he is the Lord and Savior, and through him we've received forgiveness of sins. And then there's one thing that we're to do, and number five, it's sync, S-Y-N-C, sync with the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 16 through 26, as we think about coming to the Lord's table this morning with all that he has given us for this life. Paul says to the Galatians, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." So we all know this, right? The sinful nature is in opposition to what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit is in opposition to what the sinful nature wants. And we all deal with this. So he says in verse 19, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like." You know, your regular evening news broadcast. "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." But here's the good news. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And then he says in verse 25, 26, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." Keep in step with the Spirit. Sync with the Holy Spirit. Be in agreement with what the Holy Spirit agrees with. We know this. It's a daily challenge, because our old nature, while all has been made new and we've been given a brand new slate, the brand new slate doesn't automatically annihilate the old. And so we still have the war that goes on, and we can still give in to what the old nature, the sinful nature, desires. But we also have this wonderful idea that because we've been made alive in Jesus, we're tutored by the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. He wants to teach us. He wants to guide us into truth. He wants to guide us toward the producing of all this fruit that is fruit of the Spirit. We've been set free from the sinful nature. That's what the Holy Spirit has done. He's removed us from the burden of the law, and he's set us free to follow and go from glory to glory in Jesus. We're ministered to by him because he knows we need regular encouragement. Who doesn't like a word of encouragement, a word of instruction, an attaboy every once in a while, like every 15 minutes? And so he knows that, and it's been made, that's part of the provision that we have. And then we sync with the Holy Spirit. We stay in step with what the Spirit wants, because every day, one pastor says, you know, every day I wake up a pagan until I've prayed again. Because, you know, what rises up in me is my old man, and I really need to put that down every morning, or I'm going to do according to what the old nature wants. So this creative miracle, God's image is in us. He's provided salvation for us, but not just this. It's not just eternity and we're just hanging on by our, you know, by our fingernails, hoping we make it and hang in there until eternity happens for us. But he's made such abundant provision for us here and now. And this amazing life that is ours as the kingdom breaks in, this abundance that is ours, this awareness that the Holy Spirit is in us and moving and active and drawing us to the Father and wants to teach us and wants to guide us and wants to minister to us. So in our flesh, we're frail and we're weak and we're needy. But in the Spirit, we're strong. And so we sing one song that says, though I may weep, but still my faith rests in you. So as human beings, we go through some pretty awful things, because some other human beings are capable of inflicting pretty awful things, and sometimes we can inflict awful things as well. But as we come to the Lord and we recognize, even in the midst of our pain, even in the midst of horrible circumstances, what is true is the Holy Spirit lives in us, and he's still teaching us, and he still has the word of the Father, and he still knows what's best for us, because he searches the mind of the Father. He knows the Father's will for us, and he's always making intercession. I just think that's the greatest thing ever. In French, they would say that's la vie en rose. That's, I don't know how that expresses goes in English, but I think it's kind of like the life of Riley, or, you know, it's the best life there is. And but God makes he makes all the provision for us, moment by moment. So we're never alone. All these wonderful promises, Holy Spirit lives in us, and so as we come and we prepare our hearts for coming to the table this morning to share in this meal that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And we have the bread, which symbolizes his broken body, and the cup, which represents his shed blood. But not this morning as we do this, let's not come in a sense of we're coming to a funeral. Let's come with an attitude that what Jesus did for us in his sacrifice has made all of this that we've been talking about this morning possible. It wasn't like he did this first and then afterwards they cobbled together a plan. Jesus' sacrifice on Calvary was the plan. And this is part of what we're living today is that plan. And there is provision. And the Holy Spirit is active in us. So as we come, let's have our hearts filled with gratitude for this miracle, for the beauty that is in us, and for the work that Christ is doing in us and through us in the world today. And in spite of what Evening News reports, God is on the move and his kingdom is growing. And so, yes, we mourn with those who mourn, but we also celebrate the amazing good news of Jesus Christ in us. Let's pray together. Father, you are an amazing God. How love could be so big as to accept us and to draw us out of sin and darkness and into your marvelous light, and to continue loving us and persevering as we make our way somewhat stumblingly to you. Regardless of how dark our circumstances get, you're always there. Oh. So this morning, as we come and we take part in this meal at your table, this bread, this cup, Father, could our hearts be overwhelmed with this amazing life that is ours and all the provision in this life for this day by your Spirit? Could you speak a fresh word to us today as we come and we share these elements together? And we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. One of the most beautiful of all the beautiful things is because this ministry of the Holy Spirit is so active and so overwhelming, He gives us enough to share. And so we minister, not only we are ministered to by the Holy Spirit, we are allowed and able to minister to one another because of this overflow of God's love for us. And so if we are here and we need prayer this morning, or we'd like prayer, we'd like encouragement, we'd like someone to just go to the Father on our behalf for something, let's take some time to do that. We've got plenty of room up here. If we all come up, we may all have to take turns praying or being prayed for, but let's do that this morning. Let's not leave when there's a need to come to the Father with something and lay it down and let someone else carry it to the Father for us. That's one of the parts of the body of Christ that is so amazing. So as we pray, we'll be dismissed, but then if we want prayer, please don't just rush off, because it's time to rush off. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these reminders. Thank you for this life that is ours, and how many times you've rescued us over and over again. And you draw us to your heart, and you take great joy in us coming. You take joy in us coming even in our brokenness and our messes. And your heart overflows with love for your children. We don't understand it, but we receive it, and we want more. So thank you for this morning. Thank you for each one, for each heart, for each circumstance, Father, that needs your intervention. And we give you praise, Father, because you are the faithful one. In Jesus' name we bless you. Amen.